Sell Shop podcast Meet Friends, where we are making stuff up, being real, and talking about it. Hello, everybody. I'm so happy to be here. This is really great. Today we have with us a couple of very special guests who I like so much. We have the wonderful Amos Glick with us. Hello, Amos. I think the listeners know you because you was on a couple of times before. Amos is an actor, improviser, filmmaker, singer-songwriter, and he just moved back to Los Angeles to get back into the acting game after starring in Las Vegas show Le Rev as a clown for 9 years. He was a working clown. That's so cool.
Thank you.
And also with us, I'm so excited today, we have the wonderful Todd Sherry.
Hello, Giselle.
Hello, Todd. Oh, I see that smile. Anthony, maybe can we get a picture up to the tweet of Todd Sherry, beautiful smile. Todd Sherry is an actor. You may know him from the shows recently, he do many, but just recently, Park and Rec, Supergirl, The Mindy Project, and Life in Pieces, many pieces, Life in Pieces. And one of those pieces was Todd Sherry.
Yes, it was.
And also he's a singer. He's the host of the show Up with a Twist, and that play all over LA. And he's an improviser. I think you was in an improv group with the lady who look a lot like me, Jonah Thomas.
Yes.
Many years ago. Yeah. Was that called Without a Net? Was that the name of that group, or was that a different group?
Well, we had Puns of Steel.
Puns of Steel.
Puns of Steel and Exercise in Laughter.
That's right. Pun of Steel. I never got to see that one because I was always busy when it was on doing something else. But I heard it was really good.
We had a great time. She's so good, that Jana.
Yeah, and you think she look a lot like me, huh?
She does, except she wears her hair down.
Yeah, that's what I've heard people say. They always.
She's more down than you.
She is. Yeah. That's what I've heard. The people get us mix up. So, but here I am, and here we are, and I'm so happy to have you both on the show today.
Thank you.
So this is what I was thinking about lately. I was talking to a friend of mine who is 71 year old, and at that time in life, you kind of can get a free pass to just stop learning, stop growing, just rest in what you already know, if you like. You know, you can just say, well, that's not the way it was in my day, and get off my lawn.
those two phrases always come hand in hand, I find.
People will understand if you, it's like that when you're 71, you know. But this friend of mine, he don't go that way. He's always learning something, looking inside himself to learn something new about himself, trying new things, expand himself, new hobby. And I was thinking about this expand, because when you expand, it come from X, meaning X, to push out, and pand from the waistband.
Oh.
It's like it's your waistband is growing, you're expanding, you're pushing against the previous boundary. And that push, by its very nature, is uncomfortable, don't you think?
Yes.
Chime in. Yeah, pushing against a boundary is really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And
growth is uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly. So if we want to grow, we have to get used to being uncomfortable.
Yes.
Get comfortable with being uncomfortable. I just like to say it.
Exactly.
Uncomfortable.
We have to let go of our comfort.
Yes. That's a really scary thing to do.
Yes.
The brain don't like it.
No.
You start to let go of your comfort, the brain very upset. It feels like it's dying. To the brain, it feels like it's dying for real. Because the brain is stupid. It don't know. Mine is at least. Because I give my own example from my life, and maybe you guys have example from your life. So for many years, I was desperately want to be a world famous button designer. and have my buttons known, and people will seek me out. Come, be a part of our garment and make a button for me and make a button for me. And this did not happen for me the way I wanted it to happen, you know. And if I have to be realistic now, I had to give up that dream because it was too late for me. You know, button design is really a young person game.
Oh, gosh.
Well, it's just the demographics.
Yeah, I hear you.
Nothing that we can do. You know, it's a pop culture kind of a thing. So this was my big life goal, you know, and it don't happen. And I have to give up the dream and it feel like dying. Really, this was my identity. This was going to be my thing. And to give it up, it was so painful. It feel like dying. I'm going to be nothing. I'm going to be just a fail. But it turned out that I'm okay. I live through it and I grow. And I start to discover other parts of me and come into a new part of me. More relaxed, a little more easy to go, more compassionate. You know, I think those was new things that came out of the old part dying. So I was thinking, if we can maybe be willing to die a little bit every day, then we can remain open to what is fresh and happening right now in our lives and in the world. And we open to all the opportunities for joy that is right now. And I think we can call them joy opportunities.
That is coining of a phrase right there.
Is that too cheesy?
Joy opportunities.
Joy opportunities.
So nice. If we die a little every day, we maybe can have more joy opportunities.
When you first said that phrase, I was thinking on a personal level, I'm physically dying because I happen to be at the point in my life where I'm at the apex of a lot of physical annoyances that are becoming, you know, they're uncomfortable, joints and stuff like that, and vertebrae that just have been abused. And I've always thought of myself as a very active person. And I am an active person, but I mean, you know, to think of myself as maybe not being able to do some things that I would just jump into immediately, but now I have to be cautious about, is letting go of something that I really don't want to let go of. And that makes me very upset and depressed. But, you can't get bogged down in that. You kind of have to embrace where you're at or else you're just going to be upset all the time. So that's a constant struggle with me every day now is, you know, I would normally just run out on this porch out here that I'm looking at and I would just jump off the top step onto the grass and go to my car. I can't do that really anymore with 100% certainty that I won't hurt myself.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks.
I totally understand this depression.
Yeah. So when you were describing the button industry falling on the wayside for you, the way I engage my life physically is going to have to change. It is changing. And I need to be
honest
about
it. It's dying.
It's dying.
That part is dying.
So, yeah. And that's what I thought of, is that my body is literally decaying. And I need to figure out how to be at peace with that and make the best of it.
Yeah. That's
maybe just remember that you're not alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
There are body parts all over the streets. Yeah.
Do you mean you clip your fingernails when you get out of the car and you leave it wherever you go?
Yes. I believe it will biodegrade and help the plants, won't it?
You flicking things out your car window, aren't you?
No. No. You silly girl.
Die a little every day. Flick, flick.
Flick, flick. There's some. It's dead.
What do you think of this too, Todd? Do you have
I have done this purposefully to myself, created joy opportunities for myself throughout my life. I have done it on purpose. I set it up so that I will have to grow. I remember being a kid. I remember my parents were two very different opposing people, where my father was very comfortable and happy to be at his factory job and just go drink beers with the boys and then come home and be at his house, and that was it. My mother wanted to do things and create things and be something, and I sort of got that from her, even though she didn't make a lot of that happen until later in life. somehow it got into me. So I literally left my small town and moved to New York City, having no idea what it was. In fact, I moved to Staten Island first because I didn't know. Because it's part of New York City. Little did I know it takes, you know, 2.5 hours to get to Manhattan from where I was living. But I did it. I just did it because I was like, I'll figure it out.
You just jump right in.
I just jumped right in. I only knew two people there. And one was a fellow performer and another was not at all. She was a teacher in a school that taught children with mental deficiencies. And so I went and, you know, put myself in that. So I found my way to Manhattan. I did all that. And then after 13 years in Manhattan, I started to feel comfortable.
Ah.
And was seeing that I wasn't growing. I wasn't doing new stuff.
Oh, yes. You got too comfortable.
Yes. And so I went to... an audition, and I got a job to sing on a cruise ship going around the world, to see the world and to get to sing on a ship and be paid. But what I did was I went to my job that I had had for 10 years that let me come and go all the time and was willing to let me go again and come back. But I went to them and I said, I'm not coming back.
You took away your safety net.
I took away my safety net. I put my stuff in storage. I left. And guess where that ship ended? Los Angeles, California.
Oh!
That ship came to Los Angeles, California after going around the world from Hong Kong. And I stayed here with a friend. I only knew two people here. Same thing. Stayed here with a friend. She said, check it out. I did. And we thought I was going to stay for 3 months and I stayed for 3 weeks and said, yeah, I'm coming here. So I went back to New York. I packed up a truck. I drove across the country, moved out here, had no place to live. Stayed with one of my friends for a month and then found this beautiful bungalow in Hollywood.
So it sounds like you is very used to ripping the net out from yourself and just jumping into something new. Do you still do it to this day?
Yes, I do. Yes. I left a job 3 years ago.
Yeah.
There was another job I had for 10 years.
Wow.
And again, I felt comfortable. I was like, but this isn't what I came here for. And if it is, well, I kept hearing my father say, can I say a bad word?
Yes, you can.
My father used to say, shit or get off the pot.
Oh, yes.
And I kept hearing that. And this job I had was in casting. And even though it was sort of related to, you know, my business of being an actor, it was not that business.
Yeah.
So I did the same thing. I went to my boss and I said, listen, we're on hiatus. I know we come back in a month, but I'm not coming back. And I've lived solely as an actor for the last 3.5 years now.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
And do you think probably had you not taken that chance and take away the safety net of your other job, maybe you would not have gotten so many actings?
Yes, and I wouldn't have done things like, you know, because of all my years at that casting job, I had talked to managers and agents and all these people on the phone. Well, I just sent an email to one of those managers and said, I think I'd be a good match for your management company. What do you think? And he said, yes, come in for a meeting tomorrow. And he's been my manager ever since.
That's so
but
cool.
I used some of those things that I, you know, contacts and things I had from the job. But also, I don't think I would have reached out and done that had I not pulled out the safety net.
Right.
You know, because then I couldn't do it. It would have been a conflict of interest.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Oh, that's so exciting.
I think especially in the arts, it's important for the artist to feel like that they're in control, even though we never know, often don't know where our next job is coming from. But things like quitting a job when you're ready to. Sometimes you do want to pester and be persistent with people like managers or casting people, but sometimes it's really not cool and you just have to make those choices.
That you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable because you're not in control sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I say in control, I don't mean complete control, like you know what's going to happen. But if I had not quit my job
in Vegas,
it would have been taken away from me.
Oh.
The week I quit my job,
people
who were in my slot
were
told the same week that there was a 50-50 chance that those roles would exist in 6 months. And just 2 weeks ago, they found out that indeed in September,
Their job's done. Ending.
So if I had stayed, it would have been taken away from me.
And you would have felt bad.
And it would have affected me in a different way. It would have put pressure on me in a different way. I think you...
But this way you...
Yeah. I also believe that when you do, when you make those things, and this goes from watching people and hearing stories like you just told, that when you really commit to something and you, even if it's just quitting your job, if you've got an idea of what you're aiming for and you're committed to it, you may not get to that exact point that you picture in your head, but you will end up somewhere. Something's going to happen. It may not be what you envision, but if you just sit back and wait, it may happen. Yes. You might get lucky.
It's like Giselle was saying, and when you were bringing this up in the first place, the picture that came to my mind was when you said, you know, when something is taken away, you sort of maybe find a different path or a new something in your life because that's gone. And I got the picture of, you know, how many now on the internet and everything, there's so many pictures of animals that yes. maybe don't have back legs or don't yes. have something, and they rig up little, you know, wheelie yes. things for them, whatever. The animal just goes on.
Do you know, when I was one time feeding the little pigeons in the park, and there was this one who have just a stump,
yes.
and he's just like foot stump, foot stump, foot stump, and he's gimp along like this. And then I noticed, I start to feel bad for him. Oh, little pigeon, poor pigeon. But he don't know. He don't care. He just go about his business, little pigeon business. Mm-hmm.
He gets more food because he gets sympathy from the other pigeons.
That's right. So I he taught me a very big lesson. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Todd.
Yes, I might rip my foot off. What?
Don't rip your foot off.
Oh, okay.
But you're going to knock our socks off because I know what you're going to do.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, so Todd produced and star in this show called Up With a Twist. And it is, what kind of, do you say jazz songs or torch or stand jazz? Stand?
No, in the show, the yeah. gimmick of the show
it's a singing show.
It's a singing show, and I co-host it with Heather Olt at Rockwell in Los Feliz,
yeah.
which is not far from here at your home. And the gimmick is that we invite 10 singers to join us, and everybody does one song, but it's a song that the audience should be familiar with, but they have to do it in a way that it's never been done before.
Yes.
So it's, again, it's just what you're saying, to do a song, you know, to take a song maybe that everyone knows and do a jazz standard as a rock tune, or do an up-tempo song as a ballad, or there have been very many.
I saw the one where you do what is normally a lady singing song, mm-hmm. the guy sing, and what is normally a guy singing song, the lady sing.
Right.
I like that one too.
Yes. Yeah. Well, there's no twist to this song except that I'm doing it at your dining room table.
And it's beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, please enjoy Todd Sherry.
Minding my business when out of an orange-colored sky, flash, bam, alakazam, wonderful you came by. I was humming a tune and drinking in sunshine when out of that orange-colored view, flash, bam, alakazam, I gotta look at you. One look and I yelled, timber, watch out for flying glass. 'Cause the ceiling fell in and the bottom fell out. I went into a spin and I started to shout, I've been hit. This is it, this is it, IT it. I was walking along and minding my business when love came and hit me in the eye. With a flash, bam, alakazam, out of an orange colored sky. One look and I yelled, timber, Watch out for flying glass, 'cause the ceiling fell in and the bottom fell out. I went into a spin and I started a shot. I've been hit. This is it. This is it. This is it. I was walking along, minded my business, when love came and hit me in the eye. Ouch. Flash. Bam. Alakazam. Out of an orange color, purple striped and pretty green polka dot sky. Flash, bam, alakazam, and goodbye. I said goodbye. I fell in love. Thank you.
Such a big happiness into my heart.
Oh, good. Maybe a new joy opportunity.
It was a real joy opportunity. That note, that big note when you hit that, I had to hold my lips closed so I don't scream because I was so happy. That's really
Thank
great.
You.
Oh, I have to calm down just a bit. I loved it. Thank you so much, Dawn.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, there's something about having a beautiful singer sitting right across from you, just in your living room, singing just for you. There's nothing like it. It's really special. Thank
Maybe
you.
Maybe that's why all those rich people used to do that. Remember?
You
know,
oh.
They used to have, like, you know, the grand piano and the player, and at the party that the people would sing, and you always hear, like, Judy Garland got up and sang, and this person got up and sang, and it makes you want to, like, go to old Hollywood and see that happen.
Yeah, there's something really special about it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would
people
not.
People don't do it casual anymore, like at party. I mean, this, maybe some people do, but people will have house concerts or salons.
I like know. That.
But
we should do that more.
Informal. I mean, more like, you know, oh, you're over, so you're going to sing a song, and we're just
that's
here
so
as
cool.
opposed to a house concert.
I think that's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's better than. It's. I like it. I like it.
Or maybe the young people are doing it. I don't know. I used to go to lots
yes.
of parties
well, we
where
can
people
wheel...
would bring their guitars and people would jam and stuff. And
yeah.
Fun.
Yeah, maybe it's a different sort of thing. Yeah. I think they more go to, you know, like I live in NoHo here in Los Angeles. And
that is North Hollywood for
yes,
those who's out
yes,
of town.
But it's very hip and trendy area of town where the, you know, the 20-somethings live. And there's a place called Republic of Pie.
It's a pie shop.
Yeah, they make pies, they make quiches and all that stuff, but they also have a barista and coffee. But they have a big area, which is all couches and chairs and all this great area
oh.
with a little stage.
Yeah. Oh.
And so people will get up and do a little something on the guitar or
but
do
like
some spoken
impromptu?
Word. I don't know. I don't know if they hire them for it or not. But then they also have an sort of an art walk where they have something going on at all the venues in North Hollywood. Where you can walk around and hear people do poetry, people sing songs, people do you know,
yeah,
stuff like
that's
that.
That's so
along.
Great.
So I think maybe that's the difference is now yeah. that they're going out socially into a place like that and doing it rather
gotcha.
Than having it in their big, luscious Beverly Hills, Bel Air
yeah.
mansions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm sure all
them.
The 20-somethings live in.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know I did when I was 20-something.
Sure.
Amos, how is your creative life going these days? You were starting
it's
a
right.
new improv group.
No, I did not. I didn't start.
No, you join.
One.
You start for
I,
you.
I have been doing, I guess, workshopping or rehearsing with a wonderful group of improvisers called Fraudway LA, and they do full length improvised musicals. And they just so happen to be performing tonight. Ah, thank you. Yes, the bell of recognition.
Yes, I like that. I ring
they,
my bell.
They are performing at the Impro Theater in Los Feliz tonight at 7 p.m. And I'm going to go check them out, which is why I'm leaving a little early. But
yeah.
I'm busy over the next couple weekends, so I'm going to rehearse with them a few more times, and I'll start performing with them in April. I'm very excited. Right now, they're completely in the genre of noir, yet it's a musical. And every, I don't really know exactly, but every few months or 6 months, they switch genres. And I'm just excited to be involved in a community and...
What is the name of the group again?
Fraudway, as
Fraudway.
In it's a fraud. Fraudway, Broadway?
Mm-hmm.
Fraudway LA is what they're called.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Directed
cool.
by the incomparable Brian Lohman.
I know that guy.
Yeah,
he's really
wonderful.
He's
improviser.
Very great.
Is he Roman?
I don't. I believe he's American.
Hey, guys, real quick, What was the best thing what happened to you over the last week?
I used my Vitamix every day that I just bought.
Tell them the story. Ladies and gentlemen, almost got a new Vitamix blender from the Craigslist.
Yes. I got it from a guy who he was retiring early and moving to Ireland. And he was getting rid of his Vitamix. And I got it for $200. They're very expensive. They're very
so it's hard to whip up potatoes in those. So that's probably why he sold it.
It's a little pasty in there. Yeah. But I've been trying to, you know, I'm a real big hockey fan. And in the hockey season, there's 82 games. Each team plays 82 games a year. And I watch all of my team's games. And I drink beers pretty much every time I drink. So I've accumulated a little bit of a beer belly, which I never used to have before. And the Vitamix is an attempt to counteract that in some way, to maybe cut down on the beer and drink more liquid kale.
So you put beer and kale.
That's so, yeah, okay.
Whip
yeah,
it up.
Exactly.
Nice.
Boy, does it get frothy.
How about you, Todd? What's the best thing what happened to you?
Oh, my gosh. I got invited to go to Fred and Mary Willard's house for their St. Patty's Day party.
Oh.
Which was so much fun.
Fred Willard is such a funny guy.
One of the funniest.
And he's nice. Is he nice?
So nice. He's so, so nice. And other people were there, Joanne Worley and Doris Roberts and Ed Begley Jr.
Oh.
All these people, you know, that you did, that you just love. And I just love that we went in and they first started with a little cocktail hour outside with the with green lemonade that you could mix whatever you wanted into that and have a little drink. And then it was dinner time where they served corned beef. And then in these big rectangular trays from left to right, they put carrots, cooked cabbage, and green beans. So they were the colors of the Irish flag.
Aww.
So it looked like the Irish flag on the table.
So cute.
And there was salad and all that stuff. And then after dinner, we all went to the living room where we did just what we were talking about, where there was sort
you
of
have a salon.
Sort of an improv salon of Mary Willard likes to run that portion of the party. And well, I did sing a little something that Mary had asked.
Just a little something.
Just a little something.
Cut to a video of a full-on produced Broadway number.
Here comes the orchestra now.
I just happened to have my spangly suit on under this shirt.
No, no. She asked that everybody come with some either, you know, Irish jokes or St. Patty's Day jokes or leprechaun jokes or whatever, you know. So she would call out at any time, she would call on anybody and say, you know, Giselle, tell me an Irish joke, you know, and you'd have to tell one.
What did the potato say to the carrot?
What?
I've got an eye for you.
That's an Irish potato, all right.
I just make it up right now, but maybe it's already a joke. I don't know.
It might be. It seems like it should be. That's a good one.
Call up Mary Willard.
I will call Mary Willard and I will run it by her and see if it has been done at any of her parties.
That's really great, Todd.
Anyway, yeah, so we had a fun salon and then dessert and a nice goodbye.
What a nice night.
It's a great, great night.
My best thing from the week was Helmut and I have had a big hole in the backyard because we was going to do a building project.
Yeah.
Big, big, deep, wide, big hole, stupid big hole. And we decided not to do the building. And we thought about filling in the hole ourselves, but it's really hot and hard. And, it was a big mess. So I hired some guys who come by today and they filled in the hole. And it was a win-win because we pay them money, which they like, and they fill in the hole, which we like. Everybody's happy so that the hole has been filled in. And I can't tell you, I'm really happy. That was great.
I love your description of commerce.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, you give people money and they do the thing you paid them to do.
And they're happy to get the money and you're happy to get the thing.
I understand how it works now.
Later on in the show, we're going to do the Creativity Wheel of Death and we're about to spin the wheel. But two things I wanted to say. Our listener, Joseph Douglas Watson, have tweeted in that he also said the best advice he ever got was to get comfortable with discomfort. And so he was happy to hear us talk about that too. Hello, Joseph Douglas Watson.
Hi, Joseph.
later on in the show, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do an improvised song. So will somebody will tweet in, please, a subject for the song. Nothing too raunchy or lewd, but something we can have fun with. Just a plain old thing. I don't know, balloons or your own personal Super Bowl. You know, whatever. Just some words that we can take as a inspiration for the song. So tweet that in. And in the meantime, we're going to take a spins on the creativity wheel of death. So we do some improvising later. So Todd, do you go?
Yeah. Yes, I will spin.
You want
yes?
to spin?
Okay, okay. I will spin.
Go stand up. He's going to spin the wheel. Can you guys hear it? It's spinning. Click, 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 click. Going around. And here is... You want to say what you got? Oh.
Tell a brief personal story about trial.
Trial. Mm. Whatever that means to you, a brief personal story. Oh. And we'll do that in the second half.
Okay.
Amos, take a spin.
Wait, wait, wait.
Oh, shit. You can ding it at the end, too, if you want a clean one.
Oh.
Make up a song about a big life event you've had.
Say that again into the mic.
Make up a song about a big life event you've had.
Okay, so maybe we do the improv song for that.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't have to tweet in anymore because we're going to do the song about make up a song about a big... About
you know what? If people tweet, we'll see if we can incorporate.
Okay.
So we'll look at these things and we'll see if we can incorporate it.
Okay, now somebody describe for me because here I go.
Okay. Here goes Giselle.
It's spinning. Ooh, tell a story about strange land. Wow, strange land. Okay, I tell a story about strange land. So those creativity wheel of death results will be coming up in the second half. But right now, what is the time? We're good. Oh, should we take a break now and then come back for the second half? Yeah, let's do the 100 words. Mm. We have 100 words. We have a little theme song. You have to pay attention and chime in. How many words do you get when you write 100 to 120 words?
112.
100 to 120. You nailed it.
Wow.
Anyway, we have 100 words, and this week we're so happy we have a listener contribute 100 words. David Castro, leave this on the studio voicemail. Take it away, David Castro.
Boom. All is dark. All is quiet. I begin to see the shadows in what seems to be streaks of light. Still no sound. Why can't I hear anything? Or feel anything by that matter? Wait, am I dead? No, that's just stupid. I've been watching way too many sci-fi movies. My voice is the only sound I hear, so I could be dreaming, but then again, I've never had such a quiet dream. Wait. I think I'm starting to hear something. It's very faint, but seems to be increasing little by little. I think I'm starting to feel something, too. Oh, crap! My whole body hurts! Ugh!
Oh, thank you, David.
Really, that was so cool. It was so great to hear the sounds in the background. Like, to picture somebody, I don't know if he was at work or at a coffee shop, but just someone out there being creative for a few minutes out in space. Very neat.
Awesome.
Do you think he was moving through to birth or to death or a car
Ooh,
accident?
I don't know. My mental picture was that he was in an accident. He was in that, you know, that stunned place, and then he started coming out of
it.
Yeah. But birth, that's interesting.
I like that there was lots of ways we can interpret it for ourselves. Mm-hmm. You have 100 word, Todd?
I do, and you had given the possible...
Prompt.
Prompt. I pounced.
Go for it.
So this is called I Pounced. I saw him on day one of rehearsals for MAME, and I pounced. I saw him on day one of rehearsals for Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, and I pounced. I saw him on day one of rehearsals for Guys and Dolls, and I pounced. I saw him on day one of rehearsals for the Little Shop of Horrors tour, and I pounced. I saw him on day one of rehearsals for South Pacific, and I pounced. The first love of my life was musical theater. Then musical theater brought me the love of my life 5 times. Now that I've left musical theater for TV, she has stopped bringing me love. Musical theater is a harsh mistress.
Oh. Oh. Nice. Very nice. Very nice. Harsh mistress. Here is my 100 words. And this one I did an impromptu assumption story, which means sometimes when I see somebody on the street, I like to just make assumptions about them, tell a story about their life. So I was driving down and I see this white sedan with a black interior. The driver was a broad-shouldered, square-jawed guy, a late 30s man. He have a stern look on his face, and he tossed, I see him toss a lit only one quarter smoked cigarette that was still lit. He only have smoke a quarter of it, and he tossed it out of the window into the street. And this is the story what I wrote about him. This is it. After waiting in his car for half an hour, Derek has just gotten Julia's text. It's happening. The next 2 hours will determine the course of his life. He is not smart. He has never been married. Julia calls the shots. He's her business partner, but really her lackey. He doesn't realize this, but he wants to kill her. He also wants to love her. He also wants to cry in her arms. None of that now. He must pick her up, and then they will go see Holder. If Julia can get Holder to agree, then the deal go through, and Derek is a man. He keep his apartment, he keep his BMW, his ability to walk into a club and leave with the fifth or better, most beautiful woman there. If Holder hesitate or say no, then Derek is nothing, a wisp, a shadow, a slimy residue. He toss his cigarette out the window and pull into traffic. Snapping. Like one of those poetry.
You better get his DNA off that cigarette in case anything goes on.
Well, we're going to take a little break now, and when we come back, we have the Giselle Show Players with a comedy sketch. We have another music from Todd Sherry. We have the results of our Creativity Wheel of Death, and we're going to improvise a song. So you can email to us at studio@thegiselleshow.com. The website, all how to reach us and how to contribute, is podcast.thegiselleshow.com. We'll be right back.